This is Senior Moments on KVON 1440.
Proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit. In collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley project.
And this time around on Senior Moments, we're happy to welcome into the studio Lori Bitter. Lori, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Glad to have you in here for the show. And give us your once-over, your CV, as I used to say, your background, where you're from, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I came up to Napa about 3.5 years ago from the Bay Area. I used to run advertising agencies that focused on selling things to older adults, whether it was senior housing or pharmaceuticals or any kind of healthcare product. And for the last 10 years, I've had a research consultancy that does large research projects with major corporate sponsors, notably companies like AARP, Procter & Gamble, Bank of America, to sort of try to understand what's changing in the world of aging, what's happening as people are living longer lives, and to really help develop products and services that are more in line with what people really want instead of sort of our stereotypical idea of what seniors are.
Mm. Really interesting, because if you say just a phrase like products for seniors, you know, word association, what do we go to? Depends and
right.
dentures and
right.
Orthopedic devices, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's not necessarily what
not
we're talking
necessarily
about.
The truth. I mean,
it's part of it.
It is definitely part of the truth, and certainly health, you know, health status determines a lot about what people buy and how they purchase. But a lot of the things that older adults spend on are things for young people. I mean, a third of the households in the United States are grandparent households. So grandparents are spending, as baby boomers, in unprecedented ways on grandchildren. Mm-hmm. We spend on travel as older adults, probably more than any other segment of the population. You know, entertainment, eating out, food, wine, especially of interest here. Although alcohol consumption in later life is an issue. And so we're seeing a lot of companies move toward non-alcoholic versions of what they may have done. And, you know, Anheuser-Busch has moved to some non-alcoholic beer. We're starting to see a trend there as people kind of cope with chronic conditions and medications that won't let them drink. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating space to be in some ways.
What would you say is the most surprising or unexpected category or focus that you know about for an older population?
Dating. This is the first generation. The baby boomers sort of represent the first generation of older adults who have either come into later life as singles, or because the divorce rate, you know, the divorce rate overall in our country is actually on a downward slope, unless you're over 50. So a lot of things happen when the nest empties for older people. And one of those things may be that the two people look at each other and go, why are we still here? I mean, we're done raising kids. The purpose that we had is no longer here. And they split. So, and then there's widowhood, which leaves people on their own too. So dating has become a big category for older Americans, and figuring out how to date again. If you haven't had a date in 45 years, what does that look like? And this whole idea of online dating is really fascinating to older people.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they're partaking of it?
They are. They are. There's a lot of targeted sites like Our Time and Christian Mingles and that seem to feel like safe spaces for older adults. It would scare me to death, frankly, but they're swiping. they're on there and swiping, and some finding, you know, second chances at having a partner in life. So mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why not? I mean, it's not really. It's not really any different, you know, young or old, is it? People looking for the same.
No. I mean, one of the things we found out in our research this year, because we looked at people who are aging singly, is people don't age very well when they're on their own. And we have built a world that is about coupledom and partners. And so it's sort of people's nature to want to be with someone and to have someone to share their time with. So we know that on a number of different health factors, that being having someone else in your life, having social engagement, having something to do, someone to talk to, is meaningful as you get older and actually helps with your health status. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I recall it's probably been, 10, 15 years ago, they started seeing stories about how baby boomers would remake what it meant to be a senior and mm-hmm. to be retired. Did that pan out? Is that true?
Yeah, it's happening all around us. You know, we see the headlines that say boomers are never going to retire. Well, they are retiring in terms of leaving the jobs that they had for the bulk of their career, but they're doing new things. I mean, they're not just, you know, moving to Florida or moving to Arizona and picking up a golf club. Some of them are. Some of them who are more traditional are doing things like that. But what we're seeing is boomers starting businesses in the second half of life at unprecedented rates, trying new things, trying a category of business that or an interest that appealed to them when they were younger, but they're just now getting back to because they put their kids through college, they focused on other people, and now it's time to focus on themselves. So they're exploring something new at this stage of life and trying new things. So they really, and retirement has sort of become an outdated word. I mean, what it really means now is leaving what you did for the bulk of your midlife to go do something else. It doesn't necessarily mean you're quitting on life. And we know from a lot of health studies and a lot of retirement studies that people aren't happy when they don't have anything to do. People, when they're not purposeful, they get sick, they get depressed, they're socially isolated. So it's not necessarily a good thing to stop doing, right? It's just finding something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the sort of tropes, I guess, of that whole situation is the old-fashioned domestic environment of a woman who was staying home,
right.
The man was working, the man retires, suddenly he's in the home all the time driving her nuts,
mm-hmm.
and she has to tell him to go away, go find something to do, because you've disrupted my life now.
Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law went back to work when her husband retired.
Right? Wouldn't you?
Yeah. It was a little too much togetherness.
I remember one fella I talked to about this years ago saying, well, you know, every morning at 8:30, I go to the garage and I come back at 5. And that was how they had figured it out. Like, he had his sort of man cave garage time and his comfortable chair and whatever. And that they figured it out that way. So what do you think are any of those sort of expectations that are not panning out that we had about the current moment we're in terms of the population aging?
Yeah, well, you know, there are just a lot of sort of either myths or holdovers from earlier times. You know, I used to work a lot in senior housing when I had the advertising agencies. And so our job was to fill those communities of people in their mid-60s, early 70s to move into these, to move onto these. They're beautiful. They're like country clubs. Some of them even are CCRC campuses with lots of health services that are attached. Baby boomers are not attracted to those models in ways that our quote unquote silent generation or senior, you know, who our seniors are now, or the World War II generation was. You know, when the Del Webbs of the world were developing property, it was for the World War II generation. They were a very patriotic, thrifty, saving sort of generation of people. And when they retired and got the gold watch, they wanted to go to Florida or someplace warm and celebrate the fact that all that work stuff was over. It was a very different mindset from the baby boomers who are aging now, who want to still be purposeful. They still want to be engaged. They still want to be involved. And so, you know, we've got generations of younger people wondering when we're all going to move to these country club kind of communities and get out of the way and open up the housing market and open up the job market. And it's not happening that way.
Yeah.
And so you see all these headlines about cultural wars at work and in the, you know, millennials say they can't buy houses because boomers won't get out of the housing stock that the millennials want. A lot of urban areas, you know, who thought they were, you know, developers thought they were building for young people, are ended up selling to people in their 60s. So there's, you know, the world's kind of gone mad. it's just not shaping up to be a traditional older adult life for the baby boomers.
And you know who takes the blame for all this? The medical world and science and nutritionists and everybody's
helping us live longer.
Yeah. How selfish of us.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Live longer. It's kind of silly to think about being retired in some professions at 55 mm-hmm. or 62 or 65 traditional retirement ages when you have people running for president who are nearly 80 years old.
Exactly.
You know, how do those things fit together in the modern world?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, for the bulk of our life as a nation, we've looked to older adults as our elder statesmen, right? And so some of the challenges of our political climate now with the young people trying to enter the fray is there's this deep, first of all, sort of mystery about why a young person's entering the fray, and second of all, a lot of that, you know, generational warfare, I think, and misunderstanding about, you know, about why young people want to be in public service. Older adults, you know, I think to say move over and let us in is not the best way to approach it either. And we're hearing a lot of that now in political discourse. Mm-hmm. It's like the boomers need to get out of the way.
Yeah.
But then you look at Bernie Sanders and who's supporting Bernie Sanders, and it's a dearth of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, young people really like his message. He's really on point with younger people and not so much baby boomers. It's a really interesting interesting mix of ages and message and what's attracting people right now.
Yeah, interesting indeed. So what's coming next? What are the next 10, 20 years going
well,
to bring us?
Well, it's, you know, it's really interesting. One of the biggest life shifts that we look at and we have looked at since baby boomers were taking care of their World War II generation parents is this whole issue of caregiving. And what that's doing to people's lives. Caregiving is being done by younger and younger people now. Generation X is actually our new generation of caregivers. And these are young families who are taking care of older parents who are really our sandwich generation. They've got kids at home, many of them having delayed their child rearing years till later, because we know women are having babies at older ages. So they've got younger children at home and they're taking care of elderly parents, and usually their mom. And so they're really sandwiched between career, kids, and parents. And they're struggling. These families are struggling. Some of them struggling to pay their own bills. And now all of a sudden they're caught up in the healthcare and co-pays and prescriptions and things for their older adult parents. So we're really concerned about what's happening in young families. The other thing is we, you know, it's kind of fallen from the headlines lately, but we have an opioid epidemic in this country. And what we've seen over the last probably 7 or 8 years is the number of grandparents who are all of a sudden called in to parent small children, often in the middle of the night, and the number of grandparents who are taking care of grandkids. And it's a grossly underreported number because grandparents are embarrassed by the situation they find themselves in and the fact that their kids are having these issues. So, you know, those two things are sort of the dark side of what's going on. And then as we live longer and longer and longer, caregiving at the older end of the age range, where couples are living into their 80s and their 90s, and they're both still alive. And so we have generally older women taking care of their husbands later and later in life when their own conditions, they're managing their own chronic conditions. And frequently there's not enough supports in place for those people who want to age at home, be with their partner until the day they die. And so that caregiving situation is something we need to keep an eye on, something we need more support for as a community, as families. I mean, it's not just it takes a village for young people. It takes a village for everybody, yeah. Right? We have to be a community that cares about people of all ages.
For sure. Lori Bitter, we didn't mention that you have a book.
I do. It's called The Grandparent Economy. I wrote it in 2015, and it was really the result of some research I'd done for AARP. They were sort of looking for a way to resonate with grandparents in their membership, and I found all sorts of interesting cultural things that were happening and mostly spending patterns that were happening because we were coming out of the recession. And grandparents had really stepped up during the recession to help young families. Families were moving in together when people were losing houses. Grandparents were starting to pay for things like school tuition and all those extracurriculars that parents could no longer afford. So the finances got messy during that period, and we started to see grandparents sacrificing their own retirement savings to really help their children and their grandchildren sort of survive that period of time. So the book is a lot about that, but it's also about how different the baby boomer generation is as they approach older age than any other generation in the country.
All right, The Grandparent Economy. Our guest, Lori Bitter, for Senior Moments this week. Great stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And a break now for a message or two before we wrap up this segment of today's show. Back with more after this.
Coming to the Uptown Theater. Bring your Valentine on February 14th for a night of the magnificent power and beauty of reggae music that is Steel Pulse's 40-year legacy. The Doo-Wop Project starts at the beginning, tracing the evolution of doo-wop from the classic sounds of five guys singing tight harmonies on a street corner to doo-wopified versions of the biggest hits on the radio today on Saturday, February 22nd. Celebrating 52 years as Oakland's funky ambassadors, Tower of Power will bring their own horn-based hybrid brand of East Bay soul, funk, R&B, and rock that will move you with two shows on March 7th and 8th. On Sunday, May 10th, Grammy winner Boz Scaggs will return, treating you to a night of stunning blues, jazz, and R&B arrangements spanning his phenomenal five-decade career. All these shows and more at the Uptown Theater. Visit UptownTheaterNapa.com to reserve your seats.
Did you know that 178 million Americans are missing at least one tooth out of their head? Affordable Dentures and Implants is a company that focuses on tooth replacement. 7 million patients have been helped by Affordable Dentures and Implants. Single teeth, full dentures, or implants, they have offices in Santa Rosa and Vallejo and can create a customized treatment plan to help you get your smile back, often in the same day at a price that is affordable. Affordable Dentures and Implants founders discovered how important it was to provide immediate dentures with same-day service, especially for patients who traveled a great distance or for those who are taking time off work to get this done. Almost every Affordable Dentures and Implants location has its own on-site denture lab with efficient, convenient dental care for patients. Again, two Bay Area locations, one in Vallejo, one in Windsor near Santa Rosa. That's Affordable Dentures and Implants. To schedule a free new patient consultation, just call 1-800-DENTURE, D-E-N-T-U-R-E, or visit affordabledentures.com.
Experience matters. Calabria Hospice has been trusted in Napa County since we opened our doors 40 years ago. Our compassionate medical staff is always here for you day and night, every day of the year. As the only nonprofit hospice based in Napa, our focus is on caring for you and your family. Through illness, death, and grief, it's our honor to share your journey. Call us at 258 258- 9080, Calabria Hospice.